The Bible reading tonight is from Luke 4, and it's verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Hello. How are you going? I just love it when Andrew heaps that much pressure on me just before I get up to preach. That's great. Because of that, I'm going to pray for some help. So let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, we, by faith, we believe that you are here in our midst tonight, Lord. We believe that you are here as we sung the songs in worship, declared your greatness, Jesus. We believe that you are here in our midst, Spirit, bringing genuine affections out of us in worship. And Lord, tonight, we know that you are here in these moments as well, Lord, as your word is preached. So, Lord, carry the words that come out of my mouth, and may you alone bring conviction and empowerment to each of us here tonight. Lord, we believe that you brought each person here for a reason. So speak to them, Lord, as only you know how, God. In Jesus' name, amen. There is an old Negro spiritual song, which was kind of like composed in the cotton fields in America during slavery times. And it goes like this. "I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me." I was thinking about those words to that song this week, and I was thinking, could those words possibly be true about me? Or about you? Could those words possibly, in any universe, be talking about you? Could you have the capacity as a Jesus follower to be eking out the presence of God in such a way that the lame walk and the blind see, that prison doors are open and the captives are set free? Could we actually have the capacity to have those words be true about us? That old hymn is inspired, I assume, by an event in the New Testament called the Nazareth Declaration. It's the passage that we just heard read out in Luke chapter 4. And I reckon it's one of the most potent examples of seeing what Jesus actually thinks about justice. It's incredibly clear. The context of it is Jesus has just come out of being tempted by the devil for 40 days in the wilderness. And Luke says he's filled with the Spirit. He's filled up and he's just moving around from area to area, synagogue to synagogue, preaching. And he goes to Nazareth, and Nazareth is his hometown. That's where he grew up. And he stands in the synagogue there, and as was the custom, he got handed a scroll, the scroll of Isaiah, and it got opened up to around about Isaiah 61. And there were no chapters or anything back then in the scrolls, but it was opened up to the portion of Isaiah 61. And then he read, Jesus stood up and read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he sat down and said this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Pretty much meaning, I'm the one who's going to do all these things and bring them to fulfillment. Now, if you can picture everybody who's ever had an injustice done to them, which is completely overwhelming, I know. If you can picture them for a second, they're the ones who Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls the outcasts of society. The suspect, the maltreated, the powerless, the oppressed, the suffering. They're often people who are described as having like metaphorical chains around them, or like being behind metaphorical prison doors, you know, confined completely to their horrible situations without a hope for a release. Sometimes they're not metaphorical chains or prison doors, but they're literal ones. They're the orphans. They're the widows. They're the drug addicts, sex slaves, homeless guys you see on the street, and the ones who you probably walk past if you're anything like me. They are who Jesus has in mind here when he speaks these words. Not so much you and I, them first. He's speaking to them. He's declaring that he has the keys to all those metaphorical and literal chains and prison doors, and he has begun to open them, pry open the dungeons, and redeem from the pits all those brothers and sisters who have been held captive by moral and physical and spiritual evils of this world. That's inescapable in the passage that Jesus read out. And he's saying that he, as the divine one, God, has crashed into our realm, and it's like he's wielding the sweet keys of freedom in one hand and a megaphone in the other. And through that, it's like he's proclaiming that this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the time period of the setting free of the oppressed. And that is the sweetest thing that someone who's ever felt powerless or outcast could possibly hear. It's like being locked in a prison indefinitely and finally seeing someone stroll up to the door, dangling the keys, about to unlock it. The ecstasy that will come from that. Jesus is pretty much confidently proclaiming, I am on the side of justice. I love it. I love justice just as my Father loves justice and has always loved it. But more than that, he's declaring himself here to be the one who makes justice a reality. Justice to Jesus is about action. Action. Two actions, in fact, we'll talk about tonight. First action is proclamation. Proclamation is what this random megaphone sitting there represents. It's the image of heralding or announcing that something's happening or is about to happen. You can see in this passage there's an obvious emphasis on proclamation in these verses. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, Jesus says, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's been sent by God, anointed by the Spirit, to proclaim justice. And it's really fitting that Jesus would read from the scroll of Isaiah, because Isaiah, who was the Old Testament prophet, like most Old Testament prophets, spent his days on earth proclaiming God's love for justice. In chapter 1 of Isaiah, he says, Isaiah wrote down, learn to do right, seek justice. Defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. The book of Isaiah is all about justice. Isaiah spent his entire life, until he was sawn in two, hearing from God and then proclaiming on city streets, on dirt village roads, that God loves justice. And that's what Jesus is doing here as he stands up in the synagogue in Nazareth. He's got this metaphorical megaphone in his hand, and he's announcing to all who suffer that he's actually ushering in a kingdom in which justice is going to be a reality through him. Because justice is an integral part of the kingdom of God. We often talk about the kingdom of God, but sometimes it doesn't really feel concrete. Sometimes it sounds like an abstract kind of concept. like floating around out there somewhere, the kingdom of God. Well, my little description of the kingdom of God is that it is God's way of doing things, God's way and rule manifested in our world and in our lives now. So that's a bit complex. We're not going to go into that. But that means that justice, as an integral part of the kingdom of God, isn't something that's going to happen far off in the future. It'll be fully realized far off in the future. But it is also gradually unfolding now. It's being manifested now. And that's incredible, incredible news. But how is it unfolded? I think when Jesus uttered those words in Nazareth, he already knew full well that this kind of time period of the setting free of the oppressed was going to really get traction and become a reality about 3 years and 70 days after he spoke those words. That was Pentecost, when his spirit was poured out on all believers. That would mark the beginning of an explosion of the kingdom of God becoming a reality as Jesus fills up and empowers his people to do justice. So this is where we start to answer the question, you know, could the words of that Negro spiritual hymn actually be talking about you and me, about us? Well, the first part of the answer is yes. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been anointed by the Spirit to also pick up your megaphone and proclaim justice. You can't get away from it. You can't escape it. Proclaim that God loves justice, that the time of setting free has begun. Proclaim that God cares deeply, that his heart is actually broken when a refugee drowns or is not taken in, that he breaks when a Cambodian or a Thai girl is taken as a prisoner in a life of just sexually serving white men's sick pleasures. That he cares about the plight of the indigenous. Proclaim that God is not apathetic to those things. He's not lazy when it comes to those things. He weeps because of it, and he gets enraged with holy anger on behalf of those people. We ought to be faithful proclaimers of that. Don't let people get away with thinking that God doesn't care about those things. Make it known. Make it public that God, Jesus cares so deeply about the down and out, and that he's offering incredible redemption and care from the hardships of life. Here are some practical ways, in case that doesn't sound practical, here are some practical ways in which we, as Jesus followers, anointed by the Spirit, can proclaim justice. PowerPoint's not working. Oh, there we go. Cool. So there's an array of different mediums in which we can proclaim justice. We live in a good age to do that. Song, blog, talk about it in a conversation, make a short film about it, create some art, sign a petition, like the petition going around, you know, the government's cut $300 million from foreign aid. If you want to do that, do that. Any arena in which we can proclaim that God is a God who loves justice and that Jesus makes it a reality. You follow? We can also proclaim justice by giving, this is really important, by giving the perspective of those who have found themselves on what Bonhoeffer calls, again, the underside of history. What does that mean? If you can see this Turkish rug, this beautiful looking Turkish rug here. This rug has two sides, right? It has the presentable, beautiful, pretty side, and it has the underside, the side that is not presentable. It's gross, it's dirty. No one wants to see that. It would be pretty silly for us to buy this beautiful mat and then put it up with the underside facing up, right? I think society is a lot like that. There are two sides of society, generally speaking. There's the presentable, pretty, beautiful side, and then there's the underside, which in the underside is full of people who have been marginalized, who have been silenced and not given a voice. And one of Jesus' point of coming to earth and living amongst us was to flip over society and actually hear the voice of those who are on the underside. Give them a voice so that we could hear their perspective. Of the lepers, of the unclean, of the poor, the blind. That's what he did all the time. Those who society has deemed unpresentable. And I think proclamation of justice is about doing that too. Giving a voice to those who have always been denied one. Showing the world their perspective. Now, obviously, that can be difficult for us, seeing we don't have their perspective. We are part of the presentable side, more or less. Most of us don't have any idea what the other side see, to be honest. So, obviously, that means that we've got to find out as much as we can from them as possible in order to proclaim and give them a voice. And that means listening to them. That means maybe working past some of the prejudices that may have developed implicitly in us over time. Maybe putting ourselves in places and with people that might feel uncomfortable for us. And I think in that process of discovery, the Spirit of God can help us to feel what they feel and take us from being numb to what they go through. Like, stop us from being numb to what a refugee faces or an orphan, and make us feel the way that God feels about them. Love them, have mercy on them. But that's proclamation, and that's just one part of justice. It's one action, and it's not the most important part. Jesus stood up in Nazareth and he wielded his megaphone of proclamation, but he also had the keys, the power to demonstrate justice. Not long after Jesus proclaimed all that stuff in Nazareth, John the Baptist, his cousin, his friend, got imprisoned for essentially being a proclaimer of God's justice, proclaimer of the kingdom of God. John had been wielding his megaphone of the kingdom for a while, and that got him thrown in prison. So John is locked behind bars, and he has no idea whether or not Jesus' declaration that he made at Nazareth has been backed up with any action. It's been backed up with anything, because John knows what's the use of proclaiming something without demonstrating it as well. So John sends some messengers to go to Jesus. And then in Luke chapter 7, verse 20, it says, when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that time, Jesus had cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So Jesus replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. So Jesus replies to John, John, I love justice. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm showing the world what demonstrating justice ought to look like. Because I, as the Son of God, I am fully equipped not just to proclaim, but to actually unlock the chains of the oppressed, to unlock the prison doors. That's why there's blind people walking around everywhere who can see. That's why the lame are dancing in the streets. That's why the lepers are cleansed and brought back and welcomed into society, and dead people are raised to life, because Jesus has the keys to freedom. And that is absolutely world-changing. And guess what? Could you and I really cause the lame to walk and the blind to see? Could we really open prison doors and set captives free from their situations? Yes. Because Jesus has anointed his followers with the Spirit to proclaim justice, but he's also graciously and mercifully given us the keys of freedom to steward, to demonstrate his power in setting free the oppressed, Not that we might boast in any of this, but that Jesus' freeing power would be shown through us. So that's us as Jesus followers. We have been given a megaphone of proclamation, anointed by the Spirit, filled up with the Spirit, given the megaphone of proclamation and the keys to demonstrate justice. Proclamation and demonstration of justice. But what is more specifically, what does demonstrating justice look like? I'm trying to keep as practical as I can here. Jesus really spells it out very clearly, which is helpful. In Matthew chapter 25, if you want to turn there. So Jesus gathers some people around and he tells a story. He's talking about the end times. He's talking about the judgment of all people and all things. He says all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. But I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then all the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you do any of those things? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison or go to visit you? And then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he turns to those on his left and he says, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. You didn't exercise hospitality. I needed clothes, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they'll say the same thing, Lord, when did we ever see you doing any of those things? When were you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison? And we didn't help you. And he'll reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. To Jesus demonstrating justice, which really can be in the form of any of those things, that's just a short list, giving someone hungry something to eat, something to drink, inviting in the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for their medical needs, giving of your own money, just being a presence, in the presence of and caring for those who are on the underside of society. To Jesus, doing that is almost akin to how and what you think of Jesus himself. He says that he loves justice so much that to simply proclaim and not actually demonstrate it, to have been given the keys of freedom and been anointed by his Spirit to be active in demonstrating justice and to shy away from it, it's offensive to him. And I have had to seriously repent this week of my inattentiveness to this aspect of justice. Just my sheer blindness. And I've been thinking, why do I feel so apathetic about all of this sometimes? Like, I hate getting to another May Mission Month, another year, and have to feel like I have to conjure some sort of fake solidarity or emotion up, you know? I don't want to be like that. And it dawned on me, I don't think I can conjure up a heart for justice in and of myself, especially in this kind of materialistic, grossly selfish society that we're marinated in all the time. But there is a reason why the Spirit is emphasized so much in the Nazareth Declaration, why Luke emphasizes that Jesus was filled with the Spirit when he was going around proclaiming the kingdom and demonstrating it by healing and setting people free. The Holy Spirit is the key. He's the Spirit of freedom. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. He can turn an apathetic heart like mine, a lazy or even a hardened heart, into a passionate, zealous heart for the poor. He can melt you. He can stir within you real mercy, like real compassion. He can make you want to progress into standing and getting active on behalf of those who face injustice, to take risks for them and make yourself vulnerable. I really think that this passage in Luke, without being heretical or sacrilegious or anything, I really think it could be read like this for us. The Spirit of the Lord is on us because he has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor, right? He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's why that old Negro spiritual song says, I've got a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk, the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. That's the Spirit of God flowing out of us as we proclaim and demonstrate justice. Jesus has equipped us to herald, announce, and to set free through his power. So we ought to be convicted of that and embrace it and think about it. Amen. When I was thinking about what it means to proclaim justice, I ended up writing a song about that, which Sean's going to come and help me play. And this is just meant to be an encouragement for you tonight. And maybe an example of a way in which you can take the message of that God loves justice, that the setting free of the oppressed, that time has come, that Jesus wants to do that and he cares about it, and use your giftings, whatever God has given you, to proclaim it in whatever way that is for you. But also this song is written, you know, based on this passage in Luke, and as a song that ministers to our church and a song that we can sing together. So let it minister to you tonight. Longing
the children of the living God stand up and draw the line. We are longing for you, Lord, to open doors and cause the blind to see. Raise up your warriors as bright beacons in the dark, proclaiming victory. Jesus, you spoke and restored the broken. So Lord, we pray, release. Ignite your justice like flames among us. Oh Lord, we pray, free. Let your justice flow through me, Lord. Lord, set the captives free. Let your justice flow through me, Lord. Lord, set the captives free. Let your justice flow through me, Lord. Lord, set the captives free. Let your justice flow.
God, we want to be that people who take what you care about seriously, Lord. I know it's a massive thing, Lord, but we surely do not want to remain apathetic to something that is so frequently throughout all of Scripture, frequently telling us about how much you care about those who feel locked in their situations without a hope of escape or release. Yet you, Lord, have empowered us through your Spirit to be the people who are active in your kingdom, who proclaim and demonstrate what you are all about.